This hour is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, the nation's leader in independently owned and operated talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast. And by the way, while this is happening, there's a big thunderstorm consuming the area near where Chris lives. We kind of think this is a plot by MK Ultra to take over his research and send him going. Now, let's get into that. In the first part of this book, you also talk about the various connections involving MK Ultra. Tell our listeners what that's about.
Well, MK Ultra is probably the most well-known of all the various sort of mind manipulation programs that have been created over the decades by agencies all around the world. MK Ultra was the CIA's project. In sort of generic terms, it's become known as mind control. But, I mean, it actually covered a whole range of different areas, sort of everything from drugging people and seeing how the mind and the memory could be affected, to hypnosis, to all different things. And but, it's, as I said, it's generically it's become known as mind control. Now, one of the key players in the early years of MKUltra was a man named Frank Olson. Frank Olson, interestingly enough, died in an extremely similar scenario to James Forrestal. He jumped, fell, pushed, however you want to term it, about 2:30 in the morning of November the 28th from a room on the 10th floor of Manhattan's Statler Hotel. And what we know for sure is that not long before, when he was still alive, I should say, not long before, Olson himself was actually dosed unknowingly with LSD by one of his colleagues to see what effect it would have on him. And it had quite an adverse effect on him. There have been stories that it sort of almost like rewired his mind to the point where he came to regret the sort of controversial work that was being done in terms of using guinea pigs, sometimes against their knowledge, to see how they would react to things like LSD and to chemical stimulants and things like this. And there was a fear that he was going to go public and tell the press and the public what was going on with his program. So that's kind of like the scenario with Forrestal as well, where Forrestal was supposedly on the brink of revealing what he knew about UFOs, and Olson was going to go public with what he knew about MKUltra. Now, nobody doubts, of course, that MKUltra existed. It was one of the sort of leading, most long-lasting mind control programs ever put into place. What a lot of people don't know is that Frank Olson had a number of ties to the UFO phenomenon. Now, for example, one of the people who he liaised with quite a lot during the period from 1951 to 53 was Andrzej Buharic, who wrote The Sacred Mushroom, a very good book all about psychedelics and opening portals and doorways and so on. And Buharic came to believe that he was in like mind-to-mind contact with extraterrestrials. Well, Buharic, as well as being an author and someone who was heavily involved in UFOs, he was also a captain in the U.S. Army. From 53 to 55, he was employed at the Edgewood, Maryland Army Chemical Center, which was doing very similar work to MKUltra in the CIA. Olson himself was actually based out at Camp Dietrich, and because the work at Camp Dietrich and Edgewood crossed paths a lot, Buharic and Olson crossed paths a lot and actually discussed on many occasions the whole UFO subject. Now, one of the other interesting links as well is that in the early 1950s, Olson spent a lot of time at a place called Horn Island in Mississippi. Now, Horn Island is where a lot of highly secret research was undertaken into a hallucinatory drug called BZ, or more appropriately known as Buzz. And this was actually the research was undertaken by the Army to determine how well, this substance could actually affect the human mind, and the answer is to a great degree. Now, what's interesting is that Horn Island in Mississippi is just like 6 miles from where in 1973 we had the famous Hickson and Parker Pascagoula alien abduction story. Now, there's nothing directly linking the Pascagoula case, of course, with MKUltra, but I do note in the book, and I think it's a fair point to note, that this occurred, as I said, just a few miles from where research was undertaken into aerosol-based, I should say, airborne aerosol-based chemical stimulants to alter the human mindset. You know, I don't necessarily think we should rule that out, and I think arguably that angle should be researched much further. But one of the really interesting things, and many people don't know this at all, is that none other than John Fuller, who wrote The Uninterrupted Journey, arguably the first book on alien abductions and certainly one of the most definitive ones, he got an invite by people allied to MKUltra to write about MKUltra and try and release aspects of the story to the press. Why they might want to do that is like an entirely different story. But the interesting thing is that Fuller became fascinated by MKUltra and mind control because he had sort of a little bit of an inroad. And he wrote a book called The Day of St. Anthony's Fire, which was all about a weird outbreak of hallucinations in a little French village in 51, where it so happened that Frank Olson had visited the area back in 51. And there are also suggestions he may have been somehow, or his research, because he was dead at the time, may have somehow provoked the famous French wave of UFO encounters that occurred in 1954. So we have a lot of weird little links and stories going from John Fuller to Baharich to Pascagoula, all linked with UFOs, all linked with Olson, and all linked with MKUltra.
Let me dissect this here because I see possibilities. And obviously we can think of Barney and Betty Hill especially because they had friends and lived near a military base. So do we assume that Barney and Betty Hill and the Pascagoula case may not have been UFO-related abduction cases, but tests, experiments in mind control?
Yeah, that's the theory, that using things like aerosol-based technologies to radically alter the mindset of certain people. Now, I don't think this is going on left, right, and center, and that every case falls into that category, because the logistics would suggest, you know, you would never get away with it that many times. But I think you would only need to do it a few times to kind of then perpetrate like a meme. It would spread like wildfire. And, you know, I think it doesn't necessarily rule out the idea of real abductions. One of the things that I find interesting is the idea of the theory that because maybe the official world, the CIA or whoever, knew there was a real UFO phenomenon, but because they couldn't predict where a UFO would come down or where an incident would occur, but they still wanted to see the reaction on the part of the population, they might well have staged a few events and then clandestinely watched to see what the reaction was, how the media responded, how the UFO research community responded, and how popular culture responded to an incident that didn't really occur, but that might have given them some sort of insight into what might really occur in a genuine UFO event. So in other words, I'm not saying that they fake things and there was no real phenomenon. I'm saying they may have faked things to try and gauge how the phenomenon might react. And because they set up the events, they were able to carefully watch and analyze the results and so on.
That also brings up the connection, the person that kind of connects Olson, Buharich, and others together, and that's Sidney Gottlieb, who was the head of the Army Chemical Corps. And talk about a nefarious individual that not many people really know that much about. But some people say Chris Carter, for instance, of the X-Files, kind of modeled the Cancer Man character after old Sid Gottlieb. Why don't you talk about Sidney Gottlieb and some of his his role in all this, kind of as the puppet master of sorts?
Well, yeah, I mean, Gottlieb was a very sort of interesting and unusual guy. He had sort of, you know, fingers in just about every pie, so to speak. But Gottlieb himself was someone who was involved in the whole sort of mind control thing from the early years. He actually ran the chemical division of what was called the CIA's technical services staff.
So he was the guy, basically, and we have to sum it up and continue our next segment. He's the guy who administered the chemicals, perhaps. Maybe.
Oh, well, not perhaps. Not perhaps he did. He was the one
who was the guy. He was the guy, right. Okay. Nick Redfern's joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I want to say this honestly. Chris O'Brien and Nick Redfern will not replace the Beach Boys with the harmonies or the Everly Brothers. For that matter.
No, thank God for that.
I don't know. Wouldn't you like their money, though?
Well, oh, yeah, that'll do, yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to the strange case of Sidney Gottlieb. And you're telling me here he's the guy who administered the chemicals are was responsible for directing this. But how can you say then that a lot of the UFO cases, especially in the early years, weren't mind control efforts?
Well, the reason I don't think they were is because if we look at the reports where really credible reports where we had pilots chasing what were clearly structured objects and where there was ground radar corroboration as well, and these things were, you know, outperforming our aircraft, you know, flying left and right hand turns, I just don't see how they could have been fabricated in like 47, 48, 49. Now, I think it's a whole different thing when you possibly, you know, you target someone on an isolated stretch of river and, you know, you dose them up with an aerosol-based psychedelic, then that's totally different. But I just don't see how something like the Washington, D.C. wave of 52, I just don't see how that could be fabricated.
It would require going to the air traffic controllers administering this chemical and impacting lots of other people. Now,
yeah, well, that's not going to happen, you know.
Now, I should tell our listeners we have lots of questions from your fellow listeners. I don't think we'll get to all of them. And we have a couple of critical comments, and we want to get to those in a moment. But I want to hit on something. You spend a whole chapter in the book about this. Past MK Ultra, or maybe related to it. President Kennedy. Now, we know about all the theories about his assassination. But how the heck can you possibly connect any of that, whatever you think about it, to UFOs?
Well, actually, the answer is quite easily.
All right.
There's actually a lot of data and people and players that are linked to the UFO subject who also played more than significant roles in the Kennedy assassination. I mean, one perfect example, very controversial case in 47, the Maury Island case, which some people kind of used as an outright hoax that ended in tragedy. Other people think it was a legitimate event, where in Maury Island in Tacoma, Washington State, in June 47, supposedly one of a number of UFOs exploded over the harbor, showered all this strange wreckage down into the water, some of which was hauled out by a man named Harold Dahl, who then handed it over to, I won't say a friend of his, but some people view him as like his superior at work or just somebody who had some hold over Dahl, a guy named Fred Chrisman. Now, the wreckage was then handed over to two military guys who were supposed to fly it to Wright Field, as it was called at the time, or Wright-Patterson today. Well, they barely got into the air when their plane exploded. They were both killed, and the wreckage was never found. Two of the local media guys died, and Kenneth Arnold, who was out there investigating the case, he almost died when he took to the air in his plane, and the engine failed, and he just managed to get down in one piece, and it turned out whoever had refueled his plane hadn't shut the fuel valve, and the fuel started to freeze the higher he got in the sky.
One of these silly, dumb mistakes, or maybe not a mistake.
Well, it could have been a mistake, but then we find, as I said, there were two local media deaths of people who'd actually reported on the case, and the two military guys flying the wreckage died. You know, we're talking five deaths in a very short period of time. Four deaths and almost five in just a short period of time. Now, Fred Chrisman, who the wreckage was handed over to, actually turned up in the Kennedy assassination to the extent that Jim Garrison, the new New Orleans district attorney, came to believe that Chrisman was one of the gunmen in the Kennedy assassination. Now, Chrisman was also an acquaintance and friend of a former FBI agent named Guy Bannister. Well, Guy Bannister was someone who undertook extensive UFO investigations for the FBI in the summer of 47. His UFO files have now been declassified through Freedom of Information. I've got them, and they're about 60 pages in length altogether. Some were more significant than others, but they show that he was in the forefront in the early years, and he was actually given a briefing on the subject in 47 by the Army in Utah. Now, that's just two connections. A third one, one of the theories about Kennedy's death is that he was on the verge of revealing what he knew about UFOs. Well, he was shot on November the 22nd, 1963. On November the 21st, 1963, Kennedy flew into Brooks Air Force Base in Texas, where he was due to open a new wing, which was dedicated to what at the time was called space medicine. And this was like the early years of outer space research and so on. There were a lot of concerns about how the human body might be affected by exposure to low gravity and cosmic rays and or no gravity. That was the purpose of this new wing at Brooks. Well, when Kennedy was at Brooks, he had a behind-closed-doors meeting with a guy named Major General Theodore Bedwell. It turns out that Theodore Bedwell held a major medical position at Wright Field, Wright-Patterson, in the summer of 1947, the very time when supposedly the alien bodies from Roswell were taken to Wright Field. So, in other words, he would have been one of the ideal people, at least, to see the bodies because of this senior medical position he held. Now, somebody else who he also had a behind closed doors meeting with at Brooks Air Force Base was a Colonel Harold Ellingson of the U.S. Air Force, who held, a major medical position, but this time at Fort Detrick, Maryland. And there have been a lot of stories about alien bodies and tissue samples taken to Fort Detrick over concerns about alien viruses and things like that. And Fort Detrick is where the government does do all of its sort of research into viruses and whatever. Colonel Ellingson was also at Fort Detrick in July 1947. So is it only coincidence that on the day before he was shot, Kennedy had meetings with two high-ranking military personnel, both of who in July 47 were stationed at places that are supposedly had connections to crashed UFOs and dead alien bodies.
So why would you kill Kennedy? Is there the fear that he would disclose some guilty knowledge to the public that were being visited?
Yeah, that was the concern, supposedly at least, that, or the theory, that he was going to go public with everything. But not just with the public. The other concern was that he was going to go straight to the Soviets and share everything with them, because his fear was that if there was an imbalance of power, it might cause the Soviets to panic and launch a first strike. So the theory is that by continuing a balance of power, neither side would ever start a war, because they realized neither side could win. So that's the official story. Now, what is interesting is that an official document has surfaced through the Freedom of Information Act, dated just a few days before Kennedy's death, where he talked to NASA actually about opening up outer space affairs with the Soviets. That is actual fact. I mean, he doesn't mention UFOs, but the fact that he wanted to share data with the Soviets on outer space matters, that document is absolutely 100% genuine. And again, you know, as I said, it's just dated a few days before his death. So when you've got all these different angles, yes, it's a bunch of jigsaw pieces on a table, but I think these are pieces that actually do, to a degree at least.
Once we finish our break, Chris has a comment and some questions to ask you. The book is Close Encounters of the Fatal Kind. Nick Redfern joins us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey Guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganics.com, spelled Terriganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Life's getting better.
This is Kurt 70, author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, the book is Close Encounters of the Fatal Kind by Nick Redfern. Says it's going to be his last conspiratorial book. Chris O'Brien, you had something to tell us.
Well, I was just going to ask Nick about his very intriguing research into the fairly recent theory that Marilyn Monroe, who I think it's been fairly well established, had clandestine relationships with not only with JFK, but with his brother, Robert Kennedy. There's been some talk in recent years that possibly Marilyn Monroe was going to spill the beans, not only about the relationship with the Kennedys that she had, but also about the UFO subject. And Nick, I remember last year at the Paradigm Symposium, you addressed this very intriguing hypothesis. Do you care to comment on that and maybe supplement some of the things that you've said about Kennedy?
Well, yeah, sure, because I mentioned all this in the book, and this story goes back to 1995 when an author who's now deceased, a man named Milo Spiriglio, who actually wrote three books on Marilyn Monroe's death, all from the perspective that she was murdered or allowed to die. He went public in 1995 in a press release, which was accompanied by a press conference, where he talked about having received a document that essentially was like a one-page summary of a wiretap between Dorothy Kilgallen, who was a well-known journalist in the 50s and 60s, and a man named Howard Rothberg, who was a mutual friend of Kilgallen and Marilyn Monroe. And just before I get to the next bit of the story, it's worth pointing out that Dorothy Kilgallen had an interest in UFOs. She traveled to England in 55 with her husband, and later wrote up a story for one of the Los Angeles newspapers where she spoke about how when she was in England, she met a high-ranking British government official who told her or confided in her that the Brits had got their hands on a crashed UFO, which was described as being piloted by, quote, small men. And she was also the last person to interview Jack Ruby, the man who shot Lee Harvey Oswald. So she's got UFO threads running through her and Kennedy threads as well. But back to the story, this purported CIA document, supposedly a wiretap summary of a conversation between Rothberg, Howard Rothberg, and Dorothy Kilgallen. And it talks about how Marilyn Monroe had supposedly told both of them that she was planning to reveal all the sort of juicy things that Kennedy had told her, like plans to invade Cuba, to assassinate Castro, the then current relationship with the Soviets, things like this. And although she gets this sort of reputation of being like a dumb blonde, she actually wasn't. She was very well read. She had a deep passion for poetry. She was interested in world politics. And in 1955, she actually applied for a visa to go and visit the Soviet Union to see, because she said that she wanted to see what it was really like rather than be told what it was really like. So the public persona was very different to the private one, even though she was, you know, she had like a fragile character and she did suffer from low self-esteem. So we've got this woman who feels sort of badly done by the Kennedys, and she threatens to blow the whistle. Well, the document is dated 3 days before her death. It's, the implication is from the wiretap conversation that somebody took her out of circulation because before she could blow the whistle. Now, it is a fact that she was a prestigious keeper of journals and diaries, but she supposedly had this one particular one that became known as the Red Book, where she recorded all the stuff that the Kennedys had told her. Now, when she died or was killed, everyone determined, and she was taken in for autopsy, a number of people have come forward to confirm they saw this Red Book brought in with various belongings of hers, but it supposedly vanished from the coroner's office either 2 or 3 days later. What's happened to it since, you know, we just don't know. But the document talks in part about how Rothberg and Kilgallen were discussing this one particular thing that Marilyn Monroe had told both of them, namely a visit by the president to what's described as a secret Air Force base, where he was shown, again, quote, a crashed spacecraft and dead bodies. And it's titled at the top Moondust. Moondust was a legitimate U.S. Air Force program that had a few UFO overtones to it, but was primarily focused on recovering, like, crashed Soviet space wreckage and, you know, rocket boosters to be analyzed to see how they compared to ours technology-wise. And the typeface, again, is legitimate for that era. And it does look like, well, the beheading, the paperwork, is the same. Now, again, the problem is we don't have an original document that can be examined in an archive. All we have is like a first or second generation copy, a photocopy. But that's sort of a summary of the Marilyn Monroe link to the UFO angle, and also to the Kennedy angle and the Kilgallen angle, which also has a Kennedy tie-in as well.
Wanted to mention just one thing here. We have a lot of questions from our listeners.
Nick, we're on the subject of JFK, and I have a couple of questions here on the question bank at forum.theparacast.com. A whole series of questions from Storage, who has been a poster at the forum for a couple of years. And he heard your recording on the Brand X Paranormal Radio show, and he was wondering about some of the facts that you mentioned. He points out that Maury Island is not in Tacoma, it's off Vashon Island, and he starts picking apart some of the minutiae of the things that you said about the case. But one thing that really struck him, it seems, is, you know, he says that Ken Arnold was searching for that lost Marines transport plane on the Tacoma Glacier on Mount Rainier when he saw the crescent objects for the first time. You know, that's something that you don't hear much about, is whatever happened to that plane that prompted Rommel to be up there looking on his way back, on his flight back to the Puget Sound area. And Storage points out that there were no bodies aboard the plane when it was eventually found. There were no blood or bones. All the parachutes had been left behind. And he says it seems logical to him to merge Arnold sightings with Maury Island because of spatial and temporal proximity of these things into a single series of events. Now, I had never known that. Did you know that the plane that had gone missing prior to the Arnold sighting was found and there was nobody on board and the parachutes were left behind? Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. I do know that, you know, he was up in, the reason he was in that area was because he was looking for this crashed plane. But no, I didn't know anything about the weirder side of that, no.
Also, he points out that there's a potential connection between Guy Bannister, who, of course, was, you know, an ex-FBI guy who was tied with Oswald, tied into Oswald in New Orleans. But he mentions here that Jim Garrison somehow has a connection with Guy Bannister when Bannister was working in the Pacific Northwest. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, one of the interesting things about the whole Kennedy assassination and Guy Bannister is that none other than Jim Garrison himself actually knew Bannister prior to the investigation of Kennedy's death and went on record as saying how he had lunch with him on many occasions and they swapped colorful stories way back in the 40s together.
All right.
Yeah, that's news to me. Thank you, Storch, for pointing this out. Another thing that he brings up here, which I was not aware of, has to do with Harold Dahl's son, who, according to Storage, was more or less abducted by fairies or ETs and woke up from a trance to find himself washing dishes in Wyoming or something. That's news to me. Have you ever heard that?
Yes, I have. I mean, bear in mind, when I write the books for New Page, I'm actually limited contractually to 65,000 words. I cannot exceed that. So one of the challenges is when you're writing a book, you know, what you include and what you don't.
Right, you have to self-edit.
Yeah, as the thrust of the book was the deaths, you know, there was I could have, you know, made it longer, but unfortunately I wasn't able to. But yeah, I mean, there are other weird aspects to it. This story about Dahl's son, yeah, I mean, that's been in circulation for a while about how he sort of had this, almost like a missing time experience, you know, just didn't know what had happened to him, just kind of suddenly woke up in a daze out of nowhere.
You know, and let's pursue that further on our next segment. We have Nick Redfern joining us. Now, we all know about the fact that publishers sometimes want to save a few bucks, and so they will restrict the number of words in a book so they can keep the price at a certain level. That's understandable, I guess. And we're going to have to cut this short, too, because we can't get in everything in this full episode, but we'll try. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and the FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, "The evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. But a friend and patriot has discovered a loophole. Find out about the NSA loophole before they shut it down at privacylockdown.com. That's privacylockdown.com.
How many good people procrastinate? When was the last time you updated your last will and testament, your living will, and your health care power of attorney? If you could get these documents included with your Legal Shield membership for no additional charge, wouldn't it just make sense to have the peace of mind of owning a Legal Shield membership? Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
This is
big.
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I'd prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond Osteo FX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, Nick Redfern joining us regarding close encounters of the fatal kind. And you're referring there to the fact that, of course, because of the restrictions on the size of the book, and we understand why publishers do that, some stuff had to be left on the cutting room floor. Maybe before Chris goes on with questions, let me ask you a further issue. We can move away from Maury Island and the Kennedy assassination because we have so many things to talk about. And that is there anything else that was left on the cutting room floor that you would have loved to have talked about, but you just ran out of space?
Well, only in the sense it's sort of further corroborative information and background data on certain people and players. But what I tried to do, and I hope I did achieve, was to accurately summarize all the sort of relevant and important points of each case and make it a fully readable story. That he didn't make it unreadable by leaving this out or that out. You know, I mean, like with the Forrestal story, I mean, people have written sort of 20, 30, 40 page papers on the assassination, or death, however you want to term it. But, you know, you can still tell the story in 7 or 8. So there's nothing sort of major that I left out. It was just sort of smaller points that, you know, people who want to investigate it further might have wondered, why wasn't this put in, why wasn't that? Well, you know, there's only so much you can put in when you're doing 20-something chapters in a, you know, a 65,000-word book or whatever.
I'm jealous, man. I wish I could write a 65,000-word book.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm happy to do a book of any length. I mean, my next book, I've got a book coming out with Visible Ink Press in September. It's called The Zombie Book. It's all like an A to Z, everything to do with zombies. That one's 150,000 words.
Oh, cool. Wow. You know, that's over twice.
You know, I'm happy to write a long book. It's just that some companies put a word count on it. Other ones just, they do what you want. You know, so the challenge is to make it applicable to the guidelines of the relevant companies.
Yeah. And some subjects do require quite a bit more in-depth research and more information, obviously.
Well, I mean, a classic example, Ken Thomas wrote an entire book on Maury Island, which is like 300, I mean, that's like the definitive study. That's like 300 pages on the case itself, or just on that one case. So that's how much material potentially you could include if you wanted to. But I know no new page wouldn't allow me to write a 300-page chapter. So.
Well, since we're still kind of back in the formative years of the modern era of ufology, I have another question from Storage here, and he's wondering about Grace Moore and the Crown Prince of Norway assassinated in 1947 by E.T. Now, I have no idea what he's talking about. Do you?
No. In a word, one word, no.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Let me just ask him one thing here, and then we'll go on. Just for listeners who didn't pay attention, and we mentioned it in the segment before this one, and that is, among the other deaths related to UFOs are, first, M.K. Jessup, and I mentioned the fact, of course, that he wrote the book Case for the UFO, The Expanding Case for the UFO, and we all know about the Philadelphia Experiment because Charles Burles wrote a best-selling book on it using some material that I provided him, by the way. But I knew Burles in those days, the late 70s. But anyway, M.K. Jessup writes about UFOs, and then a few years later, people read that he offed himself in Dade County in Florida in a park. He dies from carbon monoxide poisoning. What happened to Jessup? Is this something that his life had turned sour or what?
Well, again, you can kind of look at it two ways. And, I present all the information so people can make their own minds up because, if we knew the answer for sure, there'd be no need for me to write about it. But Jessup was someone who developed an interest in the UFO subject in the late 40s, early 50s, and began to dig into it further. And he was actually sort of a really early pioneer in the whole ancient astronauts world. For example, even in the early 50s, he was traveling to Mexico and South America to examine, the ancient Mayan ruins and things like that. He came to believe, even back then, as his own personal notes show, that he came to believe that these ancient structures were built by what in simple terms we would call levitation or anti-gravity. Now, whether or not that's true is kind of less relevant than the fact that Jessup was talking all about this at the dawning of the 50s in his private papers, long before people like Eric von Daniken and Zechariah Sitchin were even on the, remotely on the scene. Now, he wrote a number of books in the 50s, certainly his most famous one being The Case for the UFO. Well, what happened was that when the book came out in 55, it sort of got interest and coverage. Not too long afterwards, a copy of the book was mailed anonymously to an office at the US Navy. And the copy in question had all these weird annotations inside it, talking about making comments and underlining portions of Jessup's work into this issue of anti-gravity and levitation in the distant past, and also notes and comments about the so-called Philadelphia experiment, this highly controversial story of a supposed project that rendered a U.S. Navy ship invisible in the Philadelphia Naval Yard in 43. Well, instead of just sort of outright ignoring this book and, just putting it in the garbage or whatever and ignoring all these weird annotations, the Navy actually called up Jessup and said, look, we've got this copy of your book mailed anonymously to us. It's got all these weird comments inside about a secret Navy project. We'd like to speak to you about it. And Jessup was kind of excited, but also concerned that, he'd gone from somebody writing books about UFOs to somebody in the Navy now wanting him to fly out to D.C. and speak with him. And that's what he did. They paid for his air flights. They paid for his hotel room and meals, flew him out. He thought, with hindsight from his words, it sounds like he thought there was going to be like a good cop, bad cop grilling. It actually wasn't. It was sort of a quite relaxed conversation, not even an interview as such. And when they showed him the copy of the book, Jessup instantly realized that he recognized the writing. It was from this guy, Carlos Allende, who had been sending him all these rambling letters about the Philadelphia experiment. So Jessup explained all this to the Navy guys. They were satisfied. But they're actually more than satisfied because they contracted the Varro Corporation in Garland, Texas, to print off for them 25 copies of Jessup's book, which are circulated. Roughly 20 of them were circulated to various other military departments, and the rest were given to, four of them were given to Jessup, and one was offered to Allende himself. So that was the story behind how he kind of attracted official attention. Now, in the wake of this visit to the Navy, a few weird things started to happen. And I mentioned this in the book, and a couple of people asked me where I got this information from. It's actually from personal notes of Jessup's that were shared with me by an author who's actually in the process now of writing a book on Jessup's death and his life. And they talk about the files, his private notes, I should say, talk about how he started to get hang-up phone calls in the middle of the night where the phone would ring and then he would stop and then he would start again like an hour later and gone every night to the point where his sleep began to be destabilized. He got weird phone calls with hearing strange screeching and metallic noises down the line and strange foreign languages as if they were speeded up down the phone line. Some of his mail arrived clearly torn open and then resealed with tape, done in a fashion to make it clear to him that somebody was opening the mail, clearly some sort of intimidation. This sort of got worse and worse to the point where, at one point, not long before he was found dead in early 59, he had this strange car accident where he couldn't explain how his car had gone off the road and actually almost killed him. He was very quite severely injured and took quite a long time to recover properly. But everything came to a head in 1959 when he was found dead, as you said at the beginning of this section, in his car with the engine running and a hose pipe going from the exhaust to the window. Now, what's kind of intriguing on the issue of whether it was suicide or murder is the fact that just the night before, he'd phoned a close friend and colleague, Dr. Manson Valentine, and told Valentine that he'd made a major discovery and wanted to meet with Valentine the following day. It didn't really sound like the words of somebody who was about to go and kill himself. In fact, the exact opposite. But nevertheless, that was the situation. He was found dead the next, and of course today, questions are asked as to whether it was suicide, whether the intimidation pushed him over the edge. So in other words, it was suicide, but he was pushed into it. Or was it like a staged event made to look like a suicide? You know?
This is a complicated story. Once that author comes out with that book, can you tell us his name?
No, I can't. I was actually legally allowed, but with a contract, to make those comments. But I legally and contractually, which I actually signed, can't mention the name or the book. But I can tell you it's coming out next year, and it's basically a biography of Jessup, which contains a lot of access to not just his books, obviously, and articles, but a lot of his original notes, which were found in the archives of another researcher of that period. I know it also has a little bit couched, but the book is coming out next year, and it should be like a definitive study of Jessup's life and what was going on behind the scenes.
We'll cover that then, but now we have to break. With Gene and Chris and Nick Redfern, you're in
the Paracast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. Unseen Now's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
Henry Ford once said, "A man who stops advertising to save money is like a man who stops a clock to save time." Alex Castle here, the National Account Executive at GCN. I have the ability to customize a national radio campaign based on your budget while targeting your demographic. Contact me to find out how national radio can help your business be more profitable at 877-996-4327, extension 177. That's 877-996-4327, extension 177, and help me help you bring your business to the next level.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.